We start a brand new series today, and you know, I thought to myself, who is the best looking, strongest, most capable and talented person in the whole Bible? And I thought, well, we talk about him every week, so this week we'll talk about Joshua. No, it's a good name, but really, what's in the name? So we're going to talk about Joshua and the book in the Bible named after him. He didn't name it. And we're going to just, you know, it's a book that is filled with many things that many people in the church find problematic. There is lots of violence in there. There's stuff that doesn't make sense. And I think sometimes that can overshadow a lot of the parts that really can speak to us. And so we're going to look at all aspects of this book, and we're going to see how it reveals who Jesus is. Or better said, how when looking at it through the lens of Jesus, how does it reveal who God is and the person of who God is? You know, how do we make sense of this? The reality is the only reason the Christian church accepts the Old Testament as scripture is because Jesus accepted it as scripture. Jesus accepted it. So therefore, because we accept who Jesus is, we believe who Jesus is, and Jesus believed in the scriptures in the Old Testament, we have to wrestle with them. Okay? We can't just throw them out. We just can't ignore them. And many times you either see one of two camps. Either it's like, well, clearly God doesn't exist because all this stuff is here in the Old Testament. Or it is, well, we just accept everything as is because, well, it's there and it's God's book. But if Jesus is the perfect personification of who God is, it means that we need to look back at some of these stories that we see and say to ourselves, there is something more that is going on here than what meets the eye. And so as we look back, I like how Greg Boyd, a theologian and pastor, describes it. He says it's like the Old Testament is like a magic eye. Ever play those? You know, those pictures? And there's like the image inside all the big pattern? Ever do those? You know? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so there's like an outline of like a dolphin, and then there's a big image over top of it. And you have to adjust your eyes in order to see. I can never do them. I have never in my life been able to see the figure. But the Old Testament is kind of like that. And Jesus becomes the lens in which we look at it. And so as we begin to see the Old Testament, especially books like Joshua, through this lens, we begin to see a picture that is behind the picture. All right? So imagine, if you will, you are a people, you've been enslaved in Egypt. You have been miraculously delivered, and your leader is Moses. He is guiding you through. Now he has, you know, your parents may be a little bit not the best kind of people for living out on their own. And God has promised them this land, but they just can't seem to get their act together. And they keep living and longing for the days of being slaves, looking back with rose-colored glasses, living in a slave mentality instead of living as free people. And this whole time, Moses, he's leading them, he's directing them, he's trying to guide them through. Eventually, your parents, they pass away. And now you are the leaders. The only person you have ever known to lead you is Moses. And now here you are. You can tell. You are at the end of your journey. And it becomes clear to you that the only person you've ever known to lead you, Moses, will not be going on. And you are about to face the trials and the hardships of what it means to take Canaan as your promised land. with a brand new leader, Joshua. How are you feeling in this moment? Maybe a feeling of angst, maybe a feeling, you know, of great uncertainty, not knowing what is before you, for the only person you've ever known to lead is gone. You're about to go somewhere new. This is the scene that we find Israel at this moment. So if you have your Bibles or your app, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app or our app to follow along with the message event there. Or you can turn to your Bible to the book of Joshua. I think that's a great name for a book. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear it, it just, there's something warm inside of me that. All right. Okay, we're going to go to verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Three times it says, be strong and courageous. And if you've been around Lifeboat any length of time, you know that when it says something three times in a row, it means this is really important. Listen. God is really communicating to Joshua one thing. Be strong and courageous. All right, what's he telling him to do? That's good, good. Some of you good. The other ones, eh. You know, the Israelites, they find themselves in a situation of uncertainty. They don't know what is ahead of them. You know, just as the Israelites have been called to a life of freedom, so we have been called to embark on this life of freedom. We are called to go on a journey, to leave a life of slavery, just like the Israelites have, and journey on. But in the midst of it, we are to be strong and courageous, just like these Israelites. You know, where God is calling us, what he is calling us to, it is not an easy path. Can I say that again? Where God is calling us to, it is not an easy path. If you think, well, I follow Jesus and then my life will be perfect, no issues, you are reading a different Bible than this one, okay? The Apostle Paul makes that quite clear, right? He changed his life. He gives up everything. He follows God, and then he says, you know, I've been stoned three times. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten, right? Sounds like his life got a lot better, didn't it? No. This temporary life, it promises that you will have peace, that you will have strength, but it does not promise that you will, you know, have a Bentley and a big mansion. What God is calling us to isn't always an easy path. It's not always rainbows and butterflies, right? But he is calling us to something. And this is what I find. This is what I find. Anything worth doing will always have a challenge tied to it. Anything worth doing. Do you know what doesn't have a challenge tied to it most of the time? Netflix. Netflix does, right? You just press a button, it comes on. That is really not worth doing. I do it all the time, but see, just like the Apostle Paul, I do not do the things I should do, and I do the things I should not do, right? It's just the things that require, right? Like, you have a dream job. Does it require you to do something? Yes. Retirement, that's something worth doing. Does it require hard work and sacrifice? Put that money away? Yes. Anything worth doing is worth the challenge. You know, here's the thing. If we are to embark on the journey that God is calling us to, just as the Israelites had to do, it means there has to be a change in us. It means God is changing us. And this is what he was doing in Israel. It didn't take 40 years to walk from Egypt to where they were going. They had to do the loop a couple of times. If you're local, you may know it as the Sirjohn A500, right? The loop around the stairs at the now five bridges. Right? God had to walk them around because they just wouldn't change. They wouldn't leave that slave mentality. Like here, God is giving them food. They are free. And they say things like, well, you know, it was better when we were in Egypt because, you know, we had more variety of food. Yeah, you're also being beaten. Yeah, it sounds like a lot better life. But now you're free. You have to make decisions. You are called out to be something greater. And it requires change in us. And change can be terrifying. Anybody here terrified to change? I am really not one of them, but I know there are people who are. Really, me, if I don't have change in my life, I have a stress response. And I mean, I need change. Back when we lived in Sutton, Ontario, Sarah would leave the house for a day, and when she'd come home, I would have moved all the furniture around in the house, rearranged the whole house. I needed change. I had to. But in the midst of this journey that we are taking, we are called to be strong and courageous. But this strength and this courage that we have, it is not by our own merit. It is not by our strength. It's not by our bravado. It's because of God. We make it through the path. We make it through the change. We go to the promised land, but it is not by us. It is by God. Though the path may be hard, God. God is with us. God was with Israel. Go through the scriptures. Go through history. Past scriptures. Life is hard sometimes, but guess what? We can make it through with God. He can guide us. He can lead us. Now, in the scripture, we see that there are three ways that no matter your situation, if you are going in the way of God, you can be strong and courageous. All right, so you ready? You ready to get strong and courageous? All right. Number one. All right, this is the closest I'm going to ever get to a three-point sermon. So for all you classic people who like the old-time sermons, here you go. 3 points just for you. I've never done this before in my life. 3 points. One, we need to trust God that's leading us. We need to trust God because he's leading us. So Israel, they leave Canaan, and God is leading them. Moses is leading them. Joshua is leading them. But here, he's saying, Joshua, you're just the conduit. The people need to remember. I am leading you here. I am going before you. He says here, and this is important as we go through the rest of this book. God says, I will claim the land of Canaan for you, right? He doesn't tell them to do it. He says, I am going to do it. He is leading. So just as God leads them, God is leading us. And he does it through the person of Jesus. God himself, putting on human flesh, walking among us. Jesus' disciple John said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the one who is leading us. He is our hope. He is our true life. And it requires us to trust Jesus. This life and hope only comes through him. We are only led to the Father, to our promised land, a life with him through Jesus. He is the one who leads us. You know, many times in life when, you know, life is hard, I like to remind myself of Psalm 23. It says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters for his name's sake. He refreshes my soul. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for his rod and his staff are with me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Sure, his love and goodness will follow me all the days of my life. And I think of this. The Lord is my shepherd. God is the one who's leading me. He is the one who guides me. He is the one who directs me. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff are with me. He's guiding, he's protecting, he's leading us. Just as a shepherd does the sheep. Just as he did the Israelites into Canaan. We can be strong and courageous because God is leading. God is leading. Number two, we can be strong and courageous if we obey his word. This is what it says. Now, for the Israelite people, this meant that they were to follow the Torah. So that's the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the Christian circles, they call it the Pentateuch. But for them, they were following the words of Moses. And so for them, following the written word, this was their guiding force. This led them in all their decisions. Let's follow the written word of Moses. Now the question is this what God wants us to do? And the answer is yes and no. Okay? So here's what can happen. And I kind of like how Richard Rohr, he's a Catholic priest, he says, you know, Protestants make fun of Catholics because we have a pope and we look for the pope for all our decisions. He said, but the Protestants have a pope too. And it's the Bible. And what we don't realize is when we use this as the only authority for our life in our relationship with God, it is up to our interpretation of that. And so what becomes pope is, for us, our personal interpretation of what the Bible says. What is most important, first and foremost, is a relationship with Jesus. We need to look to Jesus first, and then the scriptures. So, to be clear, we cannot esteem the scriptures too highly. Okay? We cannot esteem it too highly, but we can esteem it wrongly. This is not our God. We have a God. This is God's story, and he tells us about himself. And we interpret it through the lens of who he is. So it helps us. It's a guide. In Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to this mixed audience of Greeks and Jews, and he says, understand then, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. So he's making this differentiation between people who simply follow the rules, right? That was the Pharisees in Jesus' day, the religious leaders. And Jesus comes and says, no. There's more than just rules here. There's a relationship with God. And so Paul points back to Abraham in Genesis. This is before there's a law. It's before Moses. Before there were rules and regulations. Abraham lived by faith. He loved and trusted God based on his relationship with God, not rules. Scripture is important, but it is one leg of a three-legged stool. And so if you put too much weight or all your weight on one leg, on a three-legged stool, what's going to happen? You fall over, you tip, or the leg breaks. It doesn't work. You need all three legs. There's a different perspective that we have as Christians when it comes to the word. John, again, Jesus' disciple, writes at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the living word. He becomes that one to which all this is read through. We understand this through Jesus. He has personified the true character of God and allows us to be in this deep relationship with him. And it's because of Jesus. It's because we can have a relationship with him. It's because of the living word that we are strong and courageous. If Jesus isn't who he says he is, then this is not what it says it is. This doesn't define who God is. God defines what this is. God's story to us. It's through the scripture, it's through relationship with him, and it's through community. These are the three legs. These are the three legs that we are to obey. Scripture, Jesus, and each other, a communal hermeneutic, which means the community reads and sees what God is saying to us through this. Hans von Balthasar, that's his name, he said this: harassed by life, exhausted, we look about us for somewhere to be quiet, to be genuine, a place of refreshment. We yearn to restore our spirits in God, to simply let go in him and gain new strength to go on living. But we fail to look for him where he is waiting for us, where he is to be found, in his Son who is his word. Or else we seek for God because there are 1,000 things we want to ask him. And imagine that we cannot go on living unless we are answered. We inundate him with problems, with demands for information, for clues, for an easier path, forgetting that in his word, he has given us the solution to every problem and all the details we are capable of grasping in this life. We fail to listen where God speaks, where God's word rang out in the world once and for all, sufficient for all ages, inexhaustible. Or else we think that God's word has been heard on earth for so long that by now it is almost used up, that it is about time for some new word, as if he had the right to demand one. We fail to see that it is we ourselves who are used up and alienated, whereas the word resounds with the same vitality and freshness as ever. It is just as near to us as it always was. Jesus is near to us. Jesus is the living word. He is the one who we are to obey. And as we obey the living word, as we obey Jesus, as we look to who he is and what he has said through the scriptures, through prayer, through community, we can be strong and courageous. Number three, we can be strong and courageous because God is with you. He is not just leading. He is not just the written word. He is with us. God is with you. Now, the word with in the Hebrew here, it denotes relationship. So it's not just like, yeah, he's hanging around. You know, he's present. I don't know how many of you guys haven't worked in an office and maybe you have a boss. And he's like, he's there in the office, but no one talks to him, right? He's not in relationship, right? He deals with someone who then deals with you. This is not what God's painting here. He's painting that he is in a relationship with the people. He's the leader, and he longs for relationship with you. And we have to understand how profound this was then, and I think to a degree it is with us as well. This isn't just about a leader leading us. This is about a leader coming and leading among us, leading from within the crowd. But in this society that's built on hierarchy, the leader did not associate with those underneath them. That just did not happen. The leader did not hang out with the people underneath them. That just doesn't happen. But here it is. God is leading them. And he's leading them from amongst them. And we see this perfectly in Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, it talks about Jesus coming. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The Virgin Mary will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us. He's with us. Next slide. It's not God far away, but God with us. Jesus, God incarnate, has come to us. God is leading us, but God has come to us. But, like any great infomercial would say, but there's more. Right? There's more. Through the life, the death, the resurrection, there's something that is even better than God with us. I know we think, wow, man, I would just love to, you know, walk among Jesus. Guess what? Jesus said that there is something better that has come because he has lived, he has died, and he has risen again. We can be strong and courageous. Why? Because God is with us, but also, as John 14 tells us, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I can't read that part from here. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. It's not God afar. It's not God among us. It is now God in us. God in us. We have the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit has come to us. And all we have to do is welcome it, to foster it, to say, Spirit, work in me. We can be strong and courageous because God is leading us. We can be strong and courageous because he's given us his word. He's shown us how to live through Jesus. And we can be strong and courageous because we have the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is in us. God's Spirit is in us. All right, application. Application for today. One, we need to trust God is leading. It's not just to believe, hey, there's someone out there. We are not agnostic. Oh, yeah, there's something out there, but he doesn't. He's not. It's not God afar. God is leading us, and so we must trust that he is the one who's leading. We need to obey his word, the scriptures, through prayer, through community. What is God saying to us? What is the living word, Jesus, speak into our lives? And three, we need to invite God's Spirit into our life. Into our life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have not left us and abandoned us, but you've sent your Spirit. You've sent your Spirit to us. So Lord, direct us on your path. Lead us through grace and mercy. Help us to know that no matter how hard life gets, no matter what happens, that you are leading us, you are directing us, and you are the one who is with us and in us, leading us, directing us in all life's decisions. Help us to trust you this day. In your holy name, Father. Amen.